Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. Are you doing well? Just had a good weekend so far. Yesterday, my wife and my son and I and our dog had a great day at home doing gardening. To be really fair, my wife done the gardening, and what did I do? Nothing. It was great. I appreciated my wife, and I went to Bunnings, and I bought her gardening things. So I'm the empowerer. I empower my wife to greater things. It was good. Anyone else do gardening yesterday? Yeah. Anyone have no interest in gardening whatsoever? Yeah, the Queenslanders. Yeah, I get it. Cool. This morning, the Holy Spirit has a intention and a plan for our gathering. Do you know that? You know, it's not just a matter of our decision to be here. Let's go to church today. Let's see what happens. Let's see people. No, it's more than that. The Holy Spirit has us all on a path, and He is leading you forward in that path. Now, if you allow Him to lead you forward, He will lead you forward, and He will lead you into great things. He will lead you into fruitful things. He will lead you into supernatural things. If we have hearts that are hungry and not familiar with the surroundings, what happens is we actually allow God to take us to a level greater than where we're currently at. Who wants to be at a greater level than they're at in God? I do. And so we have to become very sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. We have to become very attentive to His prompting and to His leading. And I'll go so far to say that His voice and His promptings should be the loudest voice in your life. The loudest noise in our lives shouldn't be the TV, the news, our spouse, our children. It should actually be the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us and helping us to become more like Jesus. And anybody who doesn't know Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, after the service, come up and chat to me and we'll pray together. And we'll get that done because it's the biggest decision you'll ever make. But for those who are here and you have made a decision for Christ and you have the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said it's better for Him to go that someone greater may come. How could Jesus say that? He's the King of Kings. And He said it's better for Him to go so that one greater may come. And He was speaking about the Holy Spirit. How amazing is that? And then we have the Holy Spirit in our lives today, which isn't determined by a pastor or a priest or somebody else. You have access to the person of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus. The great comforter, the great counselor, the great convictor, the great helper, the Holy Spirit can be your best friend if you allow Him to be your best friend. And when you walk with the Holy Spirit, everything changes in your life. If you're here and you feel anxious and fearful, the Holy Spirit can empower you to overcome that. If you're full of hurt and pain, the Holy Spirit is the great healer. Human wisdom, human help, counseling, all that stuff can help, but the greatest help comes from a touch from the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must become great at being led by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a heart for you and for I. For you and for me. You think about the person in your life who has the greatest, your greatest encourager, times that by a billion, that is the Holy Spirit. If only we would stop long enough to listen to Him afresh. And if only we would stop long enough to stop being so normal and so routine and so familiar with everyday living, and say, Holy Spirit, take me on an adventure. Because that is His destiny for you. You see, this gathering this morning, it's powerful when the church comes together. It's powerful in unity when we worship. There is multiplied blessing. Why should you come to church? Because where there is unity, there is blessing. That's what the Bible says in Psalms, doesn't it? It says, where there is unity, it says that the anointing, the oil is poured out. And this goes against the argument of, I can just be a Christian and sit at home. No, no, no. There's something really important about meeting together. Because that's what God's heart is. It's relationship with Him and with each other. And we have this amazing Holy Spirit who says, let me be number one. Let me ask you the question. Did you come to church today hungry for an encounter with the Holy Spirit? Or did you come out of tradition, out of custom, out of good intention, out of this is what we do, out of guilt maybe? Why are you here today? May it be from a heart that says, Holy Spirit, there is a blessing in the unity of the house. I want to receive it for me and my family. And so we've been speaking about the fruits of the Spirit, or we've been speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, but we have to understand that they are gifts of the Spirit. I love giving gifts. My wife's birthday is in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, a week and a half, a week. It's in a week. A week tomorrow, yes, thank you. She is turning 33, the year that Jesus died. I told her that. When I turned 33, someone said that to me. You know, I took on the church when I was 33, and someone said to me, that's the year that Jesus died, 33. And I said, thank you for your encouragement. So my wife is turning 33. It's a year of favor. It's a year of blessing. Other things? I don't know. Gardens. The things about the Holy Spirit is that He gives us gifts because He loves us. I was going to say, I love giving gifts to my wife and kid. And yesterday, if you remember last week, I told you the story about Saturday morning getting the paper at the corner shop and how my son will often come back with a lollipop in his mouth at breakfast time at 7 a.m. and I'll get a lecture from my wife. Who remembers that story? Now, I had a bunch of dads say to me that's me. That's what I do. And I'm like, yes, I know, it's not me. So yesterday, I did the same thing. Family breakfast, 7 a.m., went to the corner shop and the lollipops were there. And my son said, He's with me, he said, and I said to him, you can have a lollipop only if you wait till after breakfast. And he said, no, I want to eat it now. And I said, no, if you agree to after breakfast, you can have the whistle lollipop, which is what he was looking at, then you can. He said, no, I want it now. I said, okay, you can't have a lollipop. And he cried all the way home and cried all the way through breakfast. And I felt so bad that yesterday, last night, on the way home from Bunnings, I went past the corner shop and got him the whistle lollipop. And I said, after dinner, you can have the lollipop, which he listened to this time and sat there with that whistle lollipop, being the most annoying, awesome little kid. If you don't know what I'm talking about, not the parents here would know. Maybe some of the old people too, I don't know. But that whistle lollipop. I love giving gifts, and I'm imperfect, and the Holy Spirit is perfect. And He says, I'm going to give you the gifts of the Spirit because I love you. I'm going to give you the gifts of the Spirit because when you function in the gifts of the Spirit, you actually manifest the light of Christ. What does the scripture say? It says, let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and what give glory to your Father in heaven. How can you let your light shine if you don't know what your light is? Now, yes, your light is Christ, but it's manifest partly through your giftings. So let the giftings of God shine. So last week we took time, and it was a great service. We took time and we got you all to take out your phones or take out your smart devices, and we all did in real time a spirit gifting test. And if you missed that, go on the podcast, listen to it. And then those who didn't have their phones, some of the youth team sat with them and went through the test with them. And by the end of it, people had more of an idea of maybe what they carried in the kingdom. I loved, as a pastor, my heart was so full just seeing people's eyes being opened up to maybe something they carry that they didn't realize they carried before. Now, I've got to chuck a disclaimer in here. This is my disclaimer. If you listen today and you listen last week and the week before and you discover your giftings in God, here's the disclaimer. You are now without excuse. Okay? And it's not a condemnation thing. It's an empowering thing. Because the parable says that those who found out their talents, one of them buried it in the ground, done nothing with it. And what did the master do? The master got upset. So here's my disclaimer. If you discover your God giftings and don't use them and bury them, it is going to be on you. And I can't stand there when you give an account for your giftings before God one day. I won't be there. It'll be you and him. So my friendly disclaimer is this. As your eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit, it is now up to you to be someone who proactively uses the giftings of God. I even went to the point I even made the point last week to give you, I went through every gifting again, because Pastor Joel done it the week before, and I gave you practical applications and how you can apply your gifting in the local church. Because remember, the scripture tells us that we receive his giftings for what? For the building up of the local church, or the building up of the church. Now, who knows today that there are plenty of people functioning in giftings from God who aren't using them for God's glory? There are counterfeit giftings. There are psychics who move prophetically and have a gifting but don't use it for God's glory. There are songwriters who write songs and you feel like you're having a supernatural experience even. If you've ever had music move you, they're flowing in a gifting, but is it for his glory? There are great teachers in the world, but are they teaching the things of God or the things of men? So people can receive giftings. Now, just to recap again, what are the three ways we receive the giftings of God? Last week we talked about it. Does anyone remember? I'll tell you again. Number one, nature, what you're born with. The gifts of God places in you before you were even formed. If you missed last week or you forgot, this is really, really important. Number two, nurture. The giftings of God that come upon you by the laying on of hands. According to the scripture, Paul talking to Timothy, fan into flame the gifts of God that you received from what? The laying on of hands. So altar calls are important because sometimes in ministry times there is impartation and the gift of God is imparted to you. What was the third one, church? Who remembers the third one? Now, the now giftings. The now giftings are the gifts of God that come upon you for seasons, but they might lift off you as well. And we talked about how Saul, King Saul, the prophets came to King Saul and it says that they were prophesying and it says King Saul started prophesying. And he was prophesying in power, but he was actually a king and not a prophet. Hence why there's going to be seasons where God calls you to do things in ministry or in your life, and you think, that's not my natural gifting, but God places you there for a season and empowers you for a now moment. So this morning I'm praying for a now moment because we're going to have a go at the end of all moving in the word giftings today. That sound good? So even if you think I'm not a word, so words, giftings are the ones that use your words, and there's other ones that use your practical things. Things like hospitality might not be a word gifting, it's a practical gifting. But today I'm going to pray that there's a now moment where we can all just receive a grace to move in the gift of the Spirit with our words. That's my intro. Is that okay? This is good teaching. I encourage you, if you missed this series, or you do it, listen to it for your kids. Listen to it for your nieces and nephews. Listen to it for your family members who aren't in church, because people are born with the gifts of God because they're created in his image, but they have to be aware of what God has placed there. So the gifts of the Spirit reveal the Father's delight in his children. Why don't we pray? Father, we ask you to have your way this morning. Oh, God, give us hungry hearts. Let us see beyond the natural. Let us see the spiritual. Let us see the rivers of God. Let us see the throne room this morning. Oh, Lord, give us eyes to see greater than our circumstance and our worries and our concerns and our issues. Let us see you, Jesus. And may we be freed in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this morning, we actually, when we worship, we join with heaven. I never understand it when people stand there and worship and just look forward and don't do anything. And they say they're Christians. It's very confusing to me because I think, where is the awe? Where's the awe? When you worship Jesus, when you worship and lift up his holy name, is there anything more awesome? Is there? Is there anything more awe-inspiring than the name of Jesus? Can I hear an amen? Amen. This morning I was preparing for this message and I put on that song, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. And I just was just meditating on the beauty of his name. And then I thought, you know, right this now in Australia, there are hundreds of thousands of people just like you, meeting in churches just like this, lifting up the name of Jesus. We join with a great group, a family across this nation. And beyond that, we join with heaven. Millions and billions lifting up the name of Jesus. And we have this beautiful moment where we can encounter him in a way that completely transforms every area of our life. Or we can put God in a little box. My little God, this big. He fits in my box of understanding, my box of experience, my box of teaching, my box of theology. But do you know that God is so big? Can I hear an amen? Come on, don't go to sleep on me. Our God is huge. Our God is great. I want to do a teaching series around worship because I just think as a church, we can go deeper. I think our church gets to a place with worship that we see miracles happening in the room because the people of God are so hungry for an encounter with his presence. Anyone want to go down that journey? All right, well, we'll put it in. The gifts of God reveal his delight. And when we function in the gifts of God, we manifest the presence of God. Who he wants to manifest the presence of God. Ooh, I want to manifest his presence. I want my son to be in a church where he sees people in the courtyard and he sees God's presence. That he encounters God's presence beyond this moment, but in the very meeting of you. I want our generation coming through to be full of the presence of God. And it's up to us to be that. Women, I encourage you tonight, be here and be here in power. Be here hungry. Don't have a night to stay home and watch TV. Come along and raise up a banner for the women of our city who currently don't know Christ, are currently struggling in their families, who are trying to just make ends meet. Stand and raise a flag for them. We must remember that the gifts of the Spirit will always result in the fruits of the Spirit. If not, we are not flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, but rather something else. Have you ever met somebody who's very spiritual but has bad fruit? It's very confusing to me, especially when I was a kid in church. People who would prophesy on a Sunday, but be getting drunk on a Saturday night. It never computed in my mind. It always confused me when I'd see people living lives of unforgiveness and bitterness and all these things and not manifesting the presence and the fruit of the Spirit of God. So therefore, as a church, we must be great at marrying the gifts of God with the fruits of God. Can I hear an amen? Hey guys, we're a Pentecostal church. You're too quiet. Why? Because there's power in your words. Speak that truth, baby. Speak that truth. Especially if you're a words gifted person. Speak that truth. We must make sure that our gifting causes the fruits of the Spirit to flow. And if you are moving out of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of God will flow. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that come from us when we are led and function in the gifts of the Spirit. Activating the word-based gifts in our life is so important and so essential. In your connect groups this past week, there was a study around activating the gifts of God. I encourage you to, if you haven't done it, do it this week in your connect group. Let's get a church functioning in the gifts of God. Because, you know, statistically, 20% of the church do 80% of the work. And those 20% sometimes can burn out. And people wonder what's wrong, and it's because 80% don't help. Anyone who's hosted Christmas knows what that feels like sometimes. Our family's pretty good with this, that sometimes it's one person in the kitchen while everyone else sits around. Anyone else's family a bit like that? You can do it sneakily. Or a birthday party, or any social event where you really work hard, but there's not much group participation. So the gifts of God actually encourage everyone to play their part. Everyone, that's my heart for you. My heart isn't for, this church is not a look at me at the front, it's all about me. It's an equipping of you. Do you know that? Do you know that the preaching that comes through our pulpit is always got a part of it which is about equipping the church? Seeing you function in your God-given gift and destiny. Seeing your river flow. Why? Because that's what brings God joy. So let's look at some word-based giftings today. Why don't you say exhortation? Any exhorters in the house? Oh, I like you guys. You guys are nice. Exhorters. If you find an exhorter, go hang out with them a bit. If you're feeling, just find them and just hang. If you need, let's go get a coffee and just hang out with someone who's an exhorter because you just got away feeling better. Encouragement is another word for exhorting. The gift of exhortation is the divine strength or ability to strengthen, comfort, or urge others to action through the written or spoken word and biblical truth. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. There's some scriptures on the screen around exhortation. If you're on podcast, Acts 14, 22, Romans 12, 8, 1 Timothy 4, 13, Hebrews 10, 24, 25. That's what we're going to read right now. It says this, and let us consider. Do you know the most encouraging vegetable is? Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I made that one up just then, as you can tell. That wasn't off Google. That was a holiday special. I think it's my gifting. Humor. I don't think it is, anyway. How we may, let us consider, think about this. Like it says to think about it. Like, think about how you can spur each other on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Don't give up meeting together. Pastor Joel and myself, Pastor Joel, I don't know who Pastor Joel is, Joel with a CH. How many people are in our church? We went through our roles this week just to work out the sheep that God's given us and to look after them. Okay, do you know this? You would know this. Let me tell you this. Because you weren't there. So the staff here, just to give you an insight into myself and Pastor Charlie, when you're away, I ask questions. Yeah? And it's because I care about you. I literally care about you. And so I sat down and I said to Pastor Chol and Libby in our office on Monday morning, I said, can we go through our church roles? Because I want to know where people are up to. Like, I want to know where, so, and then anyone who we haven't seen for a while, let's actually check in. Because I want to make sure that people aren't lost in the crowd. And connect groups definitely help with that, but there's some people who just fall through the cracks. Went through it. You know, there's 412 people who are regularly in our church, which is filling this room to overflowing twice. The challenge for our church is consistency. Because if 412 people showed up next Sunday, you're not getting a seat, baby, unless you're here early. Like, you're sitting along the wall. So God's blessed us with people, and that includes our youth, it includes our kids, it includes our connect groups, there's people in connect who aren't necessarily here but meet, you know, regularly connect, and it includes Sundays. We're blessed with beautiful people, but we have to make sure that we are encouraging each other when it comes to actually meeting together. I'm going on a tangent because the scripture says, don't neglect meeting together. And all the encouragers here are the shepherds. Who are the shepherds from the spiritual gifts? Any shepherds from last week? Okay, for you guys, don't be afraid to look across the room and think, who's away? Why? Because we can move in our giftings to care for each other. Because my heart as a pastor, or the senior pastor, is that everybody is cared for well. I don't want anybody missing out on the love of Jesus. And my dream and my ultimate is that everybody in our church is equipped in their God calling to function as ministers of the gospel in his love. Does that sound like a good church to you? Hence why we're doing this Gifts of the Spirit series, to activate the church. So, encouragers here, let's keep reading. Oh, everyone, let's keep reading. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Don't be the some, be the ones who regularly. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Can I empower the encouragers here? Encourage your little heart out. How do you do it? Well, you be intentional. You use your mouth. You write a text. You write a note. You write a card. You do whatever you can to function in the gifts of God. And understand something, that encouragement and prophecy actually go hand in hand, as they both draw out the potential of God in people's lives. Do you know that encouragers here, you're actually semi-prophetic. Because without realizing it, you are encouraging someone to step in to their destiny in God. Hence why often, prophetically, I will start to encourage someone and then I'll find something click over in my spirit and it goes from encouragement to a prophetic edge. Anyone else ever encountered that? And it's because they go hand in hand. Remember, the gifts are there to build up the church. Here's some questions for our encouragers. Do you draw out the listener's God potential? Now, let's not be backhanded encouragers. Anyone know what they are? You're looking great, but you could lose a few more kilos. Yeah. The music sounded great today, but I didn't really like that second song. Thank you for doing the coffee, but it was a bit bitter today. You know, it's just like you're trying to encourage, but then you do like a little sneak around stab in the back. And it's like you nearly got it, and your intention is probably good, but you missed it. I'm not saying don't be real, but I'm saying pick your times and do it properly. By the way, I've lost 7 kilos. I know. Yes, encourage me. Listen, I can use this very openly. I have like a check-in, like a weight check-in with the guy wrapped my program in a measure in. They measure me. It's very awkward. It's as awkward as it sounds. They measure my chest, my stomach, my hips, and my quads. And I told my wife, I'm like, I had a weigh-in on Friday. I was so disciplined this week because I just wanted a pat on the back. I was yearning for a well done. Yeah. Talk about the encouragement. I was just like, come on, please. And I got it. And I was like, yes, thank you. 7 kilos. And I've lost 17 kilos since my heaviest. How weird is that? I know. A lot to go, but I'm on the way, baby. Here we go. I keep saying baby today. Anyway. Okay, encouragers. Do you draw out the listener's God potential? Number two, does your encouragement build up? And even if you're not gifted in this, you can flow in the now gifting, so listen to it. Does it build courage? Be a courage builder. Listen, does your encouragement reveal the Father's heart? Activation. How do we activate this? Ask the Holy Spirit who to encourage. Ask him regularly. Be obedient in what he says. And listen, when you feel discouraged, and often encouragers do feel discouraged, encourage anyway. Because you'll feel better by encouraging even if you feel discouraged. It's called moving in the opposite spirit. So encouragers, or every one of us, let's be great encouragers. Number two, words of knowledge. Words of knowledge is the gift of knowledge. It's a divine strength or ability to bring truth to a situation by supernatural revelation, often accompanied by the word of God. So podcast listeners, Acts chapter 5 verse 1 to 11, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8, Colossians 2:2-3, and today 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8 in the New American Standard says this. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Have you ever been in that situation where, or who here has felt like God's used you with a gift of knowledge or a word of knowledge? It is a really cool gift to function in. It's like God just gives you the key for something, and it's closely related to the word of wisdom. And it's like you know something about a situation that you shouldn't know, but God gives you the insight. And someone will often say, how did you even know that? And it's like, the Holy Spirit, I guess. And so you'll find that as you track with the Holy Spirit, these things will happen. But you've got to make sure, here's some ways to do this well. Number one, does it line up with Scripture? Sounds simple, but some people are wacko. And they give words that are not scriptural. And then a young person in their faith will often hear that and make poor decisions based on wrong words of knowledge, in quotation marks. Does it bring peace and not confusion? I've grown up all my life in a Pentecostal church and churches, seeing churches. We've got to make sure we're good with these things. So activation, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when you receive a word of knowledge, share it. Sounds simple, but just be obedient. The third one is teachers, teaching. Who are the teachers in the house that you're gifting? All right, let me speak to you guys for a second. The gift of teaching is a divine strength or ability to study and learn from the Scriptures, primarily to bring understanding and depth to other Christians. Acts 18:24-28, Acts 20, verse 20 and 21, 1 Corinthians 12:28, Ephesians 4:11-14. And if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Titus 2, verse 7 and 8. Let's have a look together. Teachers, we're blessed to have godly teachers. Mark Maharab was up here. And he can't help but bring the Greek out. Why? Because he's got a bit of a teaching gift on him. We're blessed with good teachers. It says in Titus 2, verse 7 and 8, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that any opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. You know, the greatest teaching we do is through how we live. And anyone who's been around the block a bit, who's seen a bit in church life, aren't fooled by people who teach but have poor examples. I know I'm not. It's about living lives of integrity, as the writer says here. It says, showing yourself to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. So we have to make sure that our lives back up our giftings. So here's the questions. When we teach, is the teaching, again, Bible-based? This is so heavily important. I had someone say to me years ago, said, I don't like your teaching, you don't use enough scripture. And I went back and counted that sermon, and I used 30 scriptures. 30! Some people are just a bit wacko, hey? I understand that whenever I teach the scripture, and I don't know if teaching is a huge thing on me, maybe it is, maybe it's not, but what I do understand is it is always a privilege because you are opening up the very holy word of God. And I also understand that it must be Bible-based. Paul goes so far to say this. He says, don't want to be a teacher. Why? Because you'll be judged more strictly. So it's very sobering when it comes to sharing God's word with others, because I know that every word I share, I'll give an account for. It's a heavy, heavy thing. Why is it that not everybody in church is up here sharing from the word every week? Why? Because I'm protective over what is imparted to the people under our care. I'm unapologetic about that. Why don't I get heaps of guest speakers in? Because I must know and be certain, not certain as a strong, I must be confident that whatever they're going to bring is something that is going to be Bible-based and Holy Spirit-breathed. Cults start because somebody starts to take scripture and twist it. Religious sects start because people take things and they go, I'm going to take that truth, but I'm going to blur that truth, and it becomes something where a cult or a group of people become twisted in half-truth, but not full freedom. Therefore, we have to be sober in our approach. We have to be serious when it comes to preparation. I give Thursdays just to get sermons ready. It takes me ages sometimes. It takes me days sometimes. For some listeners, they think that might take 10 minutes. It takes a lot of... Why? Because I'm trying to consider the heart of God and what the scripture says. And that's why it gets a bit frustrating when you get up here and the Holy Spirit gives you something completely different last minute. And you're like, that was 2 days of work. But that's okay, Holy Spirit. You do what you want to do. Is the teaching Bible-based? Listen, it's a big one. Does the teacher share truth in love? Because what happens sometimes, the scripture tells us in Proverbs that knowledge can puff us up. Like a puffer fish. We just get puffed up and we start floating around, bouncing off walls and stuff. The Bible actually says that Paul had such deep biblical revelation, and this is my paraphrase, but the thorn in his side helped keep him humble. That's what happens when God reveals the greatness of the mysteries of the scripture. Therefore, we must be people, as God reveals his greatness, that we actually remain grounded in love. Have you ever had a teacher? I used to do this in my young youth pastor days. I was a fire and brimstone preacher. Okay, that's a bit extreme. Maybe not fire and brimstone, but I would yell a lot. I would yell out of passion to the point where someone, one of the adults was on security, and they loved me, they cared about me. They pulled me aside and said, if you don't change how you preach, you're going to blow your voice out. And I was 19 at the time. Like, I would go home and I would lose my voice because I was just so passionate. I don't know if anyone remembers that, if anyone was here for that. It was just like the passion of God, but it wasn't necessarily, I think I could have amped up the love and not just the truth. And this is where you find sometimes teachers, and I'm picking on our teachers for a second in a good way because I do this, we've got to make sure that we actually keep our theology centered around Christ, but centered around life and death, not right and wrong. Have you noticed with me that I don't get into grey area stuff too often? You can work that out, or we can chat off the pulpit about it. There's bigger issues. The issues of salvation. The issues of forgiveness, the issues of grace, the issues of redemption, the issues of freedom and healing. So no, I'm not going to get up here and bash a politician. I never have done so. When the election's here, you don't hear me say, vote for Liberal, vote for Labor, or vote for... You don't hear me do that. Why? Because I don't actually... It's too precious this time. You have brains, you have the Holy Spirit, and you can work it out. We will come back to the life and death. Now, some churches aren't like that, and they love chasing every little issue. And the people in those churches are often very religious. And they've forgotten about the bigger issues. So let's make sure that when we teach, we share in love, not just knowledge, not just theology, but we share in testimony. Here's the question. Does the teaching bring life to its listeners? Hey, conviction's important, but it's not my job to condemn you. It's my job to give you truth and let the Word of God do what it needs to do, but the fuel is love. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, and I've been around long enough to see both and to work in both. Activation. Listen, if you're a teacher, here's some wisdom. Be diligent in learning the scriptures as teachers will give an account before God, James 3:1. Be humble in sharing God's precious truth and be motivated by love. It's so important that we teach our children the scripture. It's so important. Hey, songwriters, write songs based on scripture for our kids. When I was younger, I was blessed with this. My parents had a cassette tape player, cassette tape. Some of you guys are too young to know what a cassette is. It's a little thing this big. So you put it in it. It has little windy things and things can come out of it. And it's not... And you can YouTube it. You can see. And when I was a toddler, all the way through my childhood, when I was really young, my parents would play me Salty and the Piano Man. Is that his name? Salty? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And it was just this like dramatized like kids, and they'd have a big piano looking guy dressed as a piano, a guy with a piano suit on, and he was a psalmist or something. And he would teach the kids songs, and they're all scripture. And I went to bed every night singing along to little scripture songs. You can't handle the holiday harmony, but I just, you can YouTube it yourself. But, and then when I got a bit older, my parents would play worship every night. And the good thing about a cassette is that it will click at some point and turn off. So it wasn't all night. And I was just, you know, all the early days of, you know, Shout to the Lord and The Power of Your Love. Anyone remember that album from years and years ago? God is in the house, you know, all these. That was my heritage. Integrity music. So much of the music that is based just around scripture. And then when I found myself as a teenager, I would remember scripture because of the songs. So I say to my kids' work, I say, listen, play, do the corny memory verses, do them, do the songs. They're not corny because it was set up our kids to learn the truth. Learn the sword, the word of God. We're nearly finished, I'm running out of time. But words of wisdom. The gift of wisdom is the divine strength or ability to understand and to bring clarity to situations and circumstances, often through applying the truths of scripture in a practical way. Acts 6, 3 and 10, 1 Corinthians 12, 6 to 13, 1 Corinthians 12, 8. Let me read you the scripture. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 says this. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom you will appoint to this duty. You know what this duty was? It was feeding the poor. Imagine having a church so full of the Holy Spirit that just to serve on hospitality, the board had to pray about how much wisdom and spirit you carried. Yeah. Are they up to the level to serve coffee to those in need? Crazy, hey, how amazing. Why? Because they understood that serving the ministry of hospitality was actually so powerful that you actually needed to have wisdom flowing in your spirit. So here's a question. Is the wisdom that you give, and the wisdom comes supernaturally. I'm always asking God for more supernatural wisdom. You gotta ask yourself, is this a good idea or is it a God idea? Ask yourself, is it human reasoning or does it make room for the supernatural? Just stay with me, we're nearly finished. So much of our wisdom is actually human reasoning with Jesus' name added to it. No. Does your decision making and your processing make room for the supernatural in your situation? Can I hear an amen? Is this man's wisdom or God's wisdom? And God's wisdom is always scripture-based. And when you line those things up and be attentive to the Holy Spirit, you actually learn to be led by supernatural or the gift of wisdom. But only speak when you have a clear kingdom insight based on peace. Can I hear an amen? Because we love giving advice. All of us give too much advice, I find. Maybe not as much advice, and more Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Because that's where the breakthrough occurs. Hey, lastly today, prophecy. Prophecy is something that I carry. I love prophecy. The gift of prophecy is when a believer is given the ability to supernaturally discern, reveal, and proclaim God's truth to other believers. The Greek word for the gift of prophecy is prophetia, which is the ability to receive divinely inspired message and deliver it to others in the church. Who are those who are prophetic in the church today? Any gifting in the prophetic? Yeah? Why don't you put your head really high for me? I want to see who the prophetic people are. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 40. Acts 7, 51 to 53, Acts 26, 24 to 29, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 4, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 4, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. How awesome. So the question is this: when you prophesy in a prophetic, does it build up the listener? I grew up in a time where sometimes we would do worship and we would all go quiet, and there was always one or two people who would start to prophesy, and sometimes it was powerful and sometimes it was disastrous. You see, prophetic done well can build the church, but prophetic done poorly can break church, the kingdom. It actually brings division. There's a reason why we don't do open mics every Sunday in our church. What's that? For some of those who don't know, it's when you have a mic up here and say, if anyone here wants to prophesy, come and have a go. And it's very entertaining. Because some people are really accurate, some people are not accurate, and some people have no idea, they just want to talk. Not saying that's bad necessarily, having a mic in church, but there's probably time and a place. So does the prophetic build up the listener? Does the prophetic build up the body? Does it create unity? Does the prophetic draw people closer to Jesus? We're talking New Testament prophetic. We're not talking Old Testament doom and gloom. We're talking about the 1 Corinthians 14. For the strengthening, why don't you say strengthening? Say encouraging and comfort. Yep. Edifying the church. So how do we activate this? Well, we listen to the Holy Spirit. We be led by peace. I encourage you, submit prophetic words to spiritual covering. Don't be a prophetic cowboy who goes out there and thinks, I'm just going to do it. I'm above everyone. Because sometimes prophets can be like that because they are prophetic. They think they get all like the puffer fish. And they go, oh, and they look down on people. Don't be like that. Be humble. If you have a prophetic word, call Pastor Charlie over or Pastor, one of our pastors and say, hey, listen, I just want to share this. Can you stand with me? It actually covers you because you'll give an account. It's very serious stuff. To speak on behalf of God is extremely serious. It's not a light issue. Pray for the word you received. Sometimes God gives you prophetic insight, not to share it, but to simply pray about what you've been shown. I'll dare to say that 50% of the prophetic stuff I get shown are for me just to pray about, not to share. So have wisdom and wait on the Holy Spirit with that. Be humble. Understand that we are given the responsibility, but we're also given the accountability before God to make sure that we're doing what He wants. So today I just pray in the midst of a lot of different words and truth, the Holy Spirit is actually encouraging your hearts when it comes to activating the call and the giftings of God on your life. Because when we all function in the gifting of God on our life, we manifest His presence. And a church that flows in the rivers of God, the giftings of God, under His mighty hand, is a church where the presence of God is breaking out. Can I hear an amen? That's pretty awesome. Next week, we're going to talk about the practical-led gifts. Today was more the word. Next week, we'll be more of the practical things, talking about how we can activate that in church. And sorry, to build up the kingdom, build up the church. So I thought today, as we finish, why don't we ask for a now gifting moment and ask the Holy Spirit to use each of us. And again, let's just give 10 minutes to this. To actually allow Him to speak through us with our words according to the giftings we've just learnt about. Does that sound good? There's no point in me teaching you theology if we don't have practical application. Otherwise, we've just become big in our heads, big knowledge people, but little testimony people. Does that sound good? So what we're going to do is this. We're going to get into groups of 3 or 4. And I encourage my Connect guys in particular to please get around the groups. And let's actually ask the Holy Spirit to actually use us to either move in exaltation, move prophetically, to move in a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom today. Does that sound good? So why don't we all stand to our feet and get into groups of 3 or 4. And let's actually bless each other in the Spirit right now, in Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.